another long, exhausting day, another $1,000, a matinee, a pinter play, perhaps a piece of Mahler's. I'll drink to that. And one for Mahler.
I couldn't resist that, since we're going to talk about the arts and culture and entertainment today, a little bit of a tribute to Elaine Stritch, who died yesterday at the age of 89. Being Boston Irish, I do love my wakes and funerals, so I hope you'll all indulge me. I'm Christopher Purdy, and I am delighted to welcome everybody to All Sides Weekend. And today we talk about the arts and entertainment in Central Ohio. And boy, do I have a panel of guests for you. We have Lisa Minkin, who is the marketing manager for Broadway in Columbus. We have Nanette Macy-Junes, who is the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, who has embarked on not only showing great art, but housing great art with the new building projects going beautifully. And we have a debutante here. We have Richard Aldrich, who is the founder and artistic director of the Columbus Civic Theater. So it's all about the fine arts, what is beautiful to look at, what is beautiful to see, and showbiz on today's program. I want to welcome all of you and thank you for coming. I'm going to start with Richard Aldrich because I drive up and down.
Albert.
Did I call you Albert Aldrich?
Yes,
whoa.
That's all right.
Are you Albert Aldrich?
Yes.
Richard Albert. Thank you, Richard. My apologies. Richard Albert, the Columbus Civic Theater. If you drive up and down Indianola Avenue, you pass what looks like it must have been a gas station or something once, and now is houses a theater. And I was curious, and I went in a few months ago and saw an excellent production of The Miracle Worker by William Gibson. So I wanted to talk with Richard today. Tell us about the Columbus Civic Theater.
Well, the Civic Theater is specifically organized to educate to the point of theater literacy. The city and America in general seems to have a dearth of understanding of world theater, whereas our European counterparts do not. One of the authors that we constantly perform stage time after time is Ibsen, and he is the second most produced playwright in the world, second only to Shakespeare. And yet here in America, we don't have many productions of Ibsen and his works and other works of the modern era, not to be confused with the contemporary era.
So you are in the business of presenting what, for lack of a better term, might be classics?
Yes.
That are underperformed, shall we say?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Right. Give me some more examples. What's coming up?
Well, I can give you plenty of examples. I don't know if Endgame is one of them. I think Beckett has now achieved a certain notoriety. I mean, when I mentioned it, our two illustrious guests knew him very well, as if you knew him personally. And my condolences if you knew him personally. But Endgame is coming up next, and that's his second most important work. His first, of course, being Waiting for Godot. Then we have Mother Courage. Now, yeah, you talk about a show,
Brecht,
right, that isn't done often, and there's reasons for it. But we have a terrific actress in the lead there. Her name is Vicki Welsh Bragg. She has been acting in Columbus for 27 years, mostly with Actors Theater. I think she spent 17 seasons with them, and that's a long time. She is a terrific actress. And she will be Mother Courage this year.
We have a lot of theater in Columbus. We do have Actors Theater. We do have Catco. We do have all kinds of what I used to call garage theaters that have since, you know, graduated and start doing very important theaters. Where does Columbus Civic fit in there? And do you have to have a kind of a different patina? How are you different? How are you unique?
Well, we think we are, obviously. But the Civic, the whole concept of the Civic is to serve the city and not a philosophy. Not a personal agenda of anyone's, even the artistic director. We're here to serve the city and to make them as theater literate as possible.
Where are you located?
3837 Indianola Avenue.
Okay.
Right across from the salad dressing people.
Marzetti's, yes. Now, tell me about your space. How did you find that space? What did it take to make a theater out of it?
That's a terrific question.
I know.
I looked for a space with five characteristics. High ceilings, a lot of electricity coming into the building. We have a 300 amp service coming in there. Two bathrooms, because you have to have two bathrooms now. You can't have just one. A sign outside, and parking lots. And we finally came upon this building. We have a terrific landlord, Keith Cheeseman, who also runs the service center. They're celebrating 50 years. And we're very happy to be in touch with him every day, nearly. And we converted this into a place of assembly, which was tough, because it has to be fireproofed, it has to have ADA compliance. I'm sure my two guests are nodding their heads, and it has to be up to fire code and building code and all that. And that was difficult. It was difficult getting all of those permits and approvals and stuff, but we did it, and we opened with Shaw's Canada, and that was March 2010.
So you've been around for a while now. You've sort of proved yourself that the model is up and running.
Yes.
And going pretty well.
Yes.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back to you. Charlie is going to give us another cut from a little bit of sound, and we're going to talk with Lisa Minkin.
You're the top. You're the Coliseum. You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum. You're a melody from a symphony by Strauss. You're a Bendel bonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet, you're Mickey Mouse.
25 cents to whoever can identify that singer. But first of all, Lisa Minkin, that was from Cole Porter's Anything Goes. And why am I referencing you and Broadway in Columbus with that piece?
Well, we have it coming to the Ohio Theater in February of this year. And I'm so glad you played that piece. It's one of my favorite shows, and I guess old school that way. I love a good revival, good old school musical.
Tell me about Broadway in Columbus. Are you working with Kappa? Tell me, and what basically the function is.
Yeah, we have a great partnership with Kappa, with our PNC Broadway in Columbus series, to bring Columbus audiences the best and brightest of Broadway as soon as we can get it off the Great White Way to bring it here to our stages. And we open with a crowd favorite, Disney's The Lion King. It was last year in... I believe 2008, so it's been a few years. It's here for 4 weeks.
It's still running, I think, in New York, isn't it?
It is.
It's Julie Taymor staging, which is incredible to see.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
If you come for nothing else, come to see the incredible costumes. I think it really revolutionized some costumes on Broadway. And then in January, we have Newsies, another Disney show that
we're going to talk about a bit later. I have a cut from that, and I want to, since that's a show that might not be familiar to a lot of people, I want to talk about that a little more. How do you decide what to bring to town? For example, you said off mic, well, people want to see Cats again, and I'm sure they do. I mean, and you've brought Cats a number of times. How much is too much? Do you get a lot of feedback from your audiences about what they want?
We definitely do. We want to hear what our audience have to say. We do a survey with not only our subscribers, but our single ticket buyers as well. But also what goes into consideration, what some people might not realize, is the size of a show. Will it fit in one of our two theaters that we use? And also routing. Across the nation, can we fit in a schedule?
Because I want to make it clear that you are presenters.
Yes, we are.
And you take Broadway productions that have been touring on the road. So it's different than presenting a locally based production, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So a lot of the people you bring to Columbus have already done the parts in New York and probably everywhere else that they're going.
Right.
Right. What's been the most successful one?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is our recent production of Book of Mormon. We had it here for 2 weeks.
Was that the first time it was here?
It was, yes.
You couldn't get into it, thank you very much.
I got into it.
All right, well, you would, yes.
I got one of the last, they told me that I bought 3 seats, and they said, you can find as long as you don't want to sit together. It was the singlets all over the... was fantastic.
Well, that's
I actually work in that theater. I knew where the stage door was, but we won't discuss that. But anyway, it was a huge success.
It
was a huge success. And was there a controversy about that show? Were people wondering what that was, the Book of Mormon?
I think it's been out and in New York long enough that people were able to educate themselves about it. I think maybe a few people were surprised, but we have very sophisticated audiences, and I think they knew what they were going into.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk more about Broadway in Columbus. We have a little more sound as well. We'll do that later. I want to just get to Nanette Messy-Junes, because one of my favorite people and one of our city's great cultural leaders is sitting opposite me. And you are, speaking of building and fire codes and stuff, you are probably up to your ears and things like that at the museum.
Indeed we are. I know more about building than I could ever thought I would ever know. And it's been a great journey.
Bathrooms, how
yes, how many you need. And all the things you need. And there, you know, there's a difference. This is very important, actually. There's a difference between like an ADA accessible restroom and a restroom that is for wheelchair access. I mean, so you learn those
really?
Distinctions.
Yes.
And it's
unbelievable.
But it makes a big difference in what's accessible to people and their comfort level. And we've really been striving to create the most welcoming building, you know, a great experience both with the art but also just comfort and feeling welcome.
I guess none of you can put a big sign up saying go at home or something.
No,
you can't do that. So, all right. So where are you in the building project? You're building a new wing or a new building as part of the museum yes. campus behind that magnificent structure you have. Where are we at with that? And
well, for a long time, we joked and said for a long time it looked like they were just moving dirt from one part of the site to the other. But I tell you, once that's how construction works. There's a lot of behind the scenes you can't really see, and then suddenly it just goes up. And if you drive by now, if you drive by East Broad Street now, it is extraordinary. They're telling us they're on time, they're on budget, which is extraordinary, thinking of the winter.
Do they mean
had.
It? Are they really?
Yes, they are, because
they'll say
my
that.
Life is in the hands of Mark Korda, and I trust him implicitly.
All
he
right.
is an incredible
yes.
To us as our general contractor, and he's been there with us every step of the way. I can't thank him enough, nor our architect Mike Bongiorno at Design Group. They've been so great to us. But they are saying that they will be handing over keys to us probably about a year from now, early July of next year.
All right, then you'll come in here next July and we'll have cake, okay?
Yes, we'll have cake.
But what is what's going to be in the new space?
Well, when you drive by, you're going to see this huge two-story thing going up to the east of the traditional building, of our historic building. And it's a two-story. There's a beautiful new wing. It's a beautiful new glass lobby that wedges between the historic building and the great two-story wing. And you'll come in on the ground floor of the wing. There'll be a new beautiful museum store and a new exhibition hall for both presenting exhibitions that are traveling that we get or exhibitions we organize. The second floor will be all expanded collections, space for our permanent collection, which is great. We have a new cafe that will be right on the new garden. A lot of people, when they see the little elliptical shaped garden that's
yeah.
on 9th, that you're going, if you've been to the museum lately, that's actually the entrance right now for
right.
a while. People say, oh, so this is the garden. It's beautiful, but it's very small. I was like, well, yeah, but we get a new big sculpture garden. So we're actually going to have two gardens, and we'll have a big garden on the north side of the face of the building, and the new cafe will be right on the garden. So it'll be just fantastic.
When we come back from a quick break, I'm going to ask Nanette to tell us about some of the things one can see at the museum and look forward to. We'll also talk more with Lisa Minkin of Broadway in Columbus and Richard Albert of the Columbus Civic Theater. And we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Thank you, Charlie Pickard. I'm Christopher Purdy.
It's a crooked game we're playing.
One not yet.
We'll never lose. Longest suckers.
You blew my surprise. We'll do that later. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are discussing the arts and culture on today's edition of All Sides Weekend with Richard Albert of the Columbus Civic Theater, Lisa Minkin of Broadway in Columbus, and Nanette Messy-Junes of the Columbus Museum of Art. So, Nanette, what can we see?
Oh, we have, you know, people are surprised that we have continued. We've not only been open through this whole project, we've got new exhibitions, new projects going on all the time. For the summer, there's this great show called Modern Dialect. It's a private collection of American modernism, mid-century. It's great. Some really big names that people will know, but, you know, a lot of really surprising artists that you're like, who is this? And it's one of those kind of surprise shows. Also, Imagine, the picture book exhibition. We are starting a new initiative. So every summer, we are going to showcase a different picture book artist. This, we're kicking off the initiative with the private collection from here in Columbus. The couple's very generous to lend it. It's just wonderful. You get an inside look of all of the different
When you say picture book, then what exactly do you
children's
mean?
Children's picture books. I mean, okay. I think people don't realize the incredible art that goes into these. And the Wolfenbergers, who were the couple that lent their collection, is just lovely, lovely. And you get to see lots of different artists. But going forward, we'll be doing different things. Like next year, we're going to work with a Maza Museum up in Findlay. So that'll be real exciting. So that's going on. And the GCAC show is up. We have an ongoing relationship with GCAC, and we showcase their fellowship winners every year, and it's curated by our contemporary curator Tyler Cann. So that's up too.
So let's make the point: the museum's under construction, but they are open for business.
We are, and
with lots of great things coming
lots
up.
Lots of great things.
We'll ask
and
you,
if you haven't checked out the Wonder Room since it was reinstalled, bring your family. It's a fantastic space.
Yeah, that's a great place to park your kids and go to a bar or something, because I mean they have a no, really, it's a wonderful resource.
Actually, it's a great space to be interacting with your kids.
Yes.
Actually, one of the great things about the Wonder Room isn't just about kids. It's about all of us.
Right.
And in fact, people say, do I have to have a kid to go in there? I said, no, you don't have to have children. Go in there. It's for all ages.
It's about tapping into creativity you didn't know you had. But yeah, terrific for that. And I want to ask Richard Albert, going back to the Columbus Civic Theater, take me to the beginnings. Who are you and how did you decide to do this?
Well, we formed with two other people. One of them is significant here. His name is Doug Rutledge, and he mostly does the Somali project, but he's still a board member. And we recognize that there's a significant ignorance here, not only in this city, but across the nation, of the theater in general.
Now, when you say the theater, what specifically are you talking about? Are you talking about plays that one reads in high school because one has to? Is that pretty much it?
That's very good.
Okay.
I love that. Or in a world theater anthology that you read in college. That's what I did. And some of these plays are quite significant. And many of them are not performed for several reasons, like they have very large casts.
Expensive.
And very expensive, multiple sets.
Right.
You know, this is...
How do you handle that?
Okay, well, we try not to do those plays. That's the first thing. But let's say with The Miracle Worker, which you saw...
It's a bigger show.
Yes. I just stripped it down, and I cut back all of the furniture and the props and everything, and we came down with just those scenes, and there was a bunch of voiceovers that we had to cut out.
Tell you, I didn't miss any of the furniture and things like that. No offense to furniture makers or set designers, but I did focus on the drama and the story. It made it a little easier that I knew the story or knew the play. But you do bring it. Your space is small, so you are basically almost sitting on stage with the people.
Right.
Which is a great experience for that.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's too intense for people. And we see people sitting in the back more than the front, especially with a set, with this, you know, scene like that where, you know, a kid and the caretaker is at each other.
Right, they're wrestling there.
They're basically wrestling one another.
You also recently did Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yes.
We're not up for a lot of light shows here. I mean, but that's a very intense show, too.
Yes, yes.
Four people at each other's throats for 2 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was quite terrific. Again, Vicki Welsh Bragg did Martha. Vern Hendrick, who is now directing Endgame, and Lindsay Fisher and Colin McClellan, they did a terrific job. And Bo Rabbi is the one who directed that. He seems to be our Albee expert. And it was quite an evening. And as the run went on, as it does, it got better and better and better.
Let me ask you and Lisa, this seems to be a very good town for theater, Columbus, Ohio. Why do you think that is?
The cross-section. We're also, Columbus is considered the test market of the nation. And I think we have a cross-section of demographics like no other city in the nation. And that appeals to interaction with different cultures and different viewpoints. Different political viewpoints, different religious viewpoints, everything comes together here because of the universities, because of the government, because of we have a we're the capital. We keep forgetting that. I do at least. And we have all of these cross sections of people, and it makes for a communal appreciation.
Is it fair to say, Lisa, that you're both in the entertainment business? With your product, it is more obvious because you're doing a lot of musicals. Mm-hmm. You're there to be entertained, and that's a great thing. Especially in this day and age, that's a great thing. What's in your mind as you choose what to present?
Well, I think there's always what will be successful here.
Or what has been historically in other cities. Is it possible that a show would sell really well in one city and not so well in another?
I think there's always that possibility.
Really? Okay.
Depending on audiences, some shows do better when they hit bigger markets and they don't necessarily go to some of the smaller regional markets. And then there's always what hasn't been here in a while. What can we get in Columbus that's come right off Broadway? We have a couple tours like that.
Well, for example, we'll talk about Newsies in a moment,
right,
which is a recent show.
It's still
running. Might be unfamiliar to a lot of people. What's the challenge of marketing that? Do you market individually or as a package?
There's a little bit of both, but for the shows, primarily, we do individual marketing for the shows. So with Newsies, it's playing on what people might be familiar with. There's a group called Fanzies that are diehard movie fans of the 1992 Disney movie. Yes, they have a huge social media presence. So Disney does a great job giving you a lot of tools to work with. So you can, and I'm sure you guys experience that as well, is getting your message out on social media because people can see the art form as well. And I think that's very important. We can show
clips
from the show. There's an app that you can download on your phone. You can take pictures and put yourself with the Newsies. So it's really encouraging people to interact with the show to get to know it better.
Speaking of Newsies, can we have that cut again? This is a little bit from Newsies, which is coming to Columbus.
And one will never lose. Long as suckers don't mind paying just to get bad news. Ain't it a fine life, carrying the banner through it all? A mighty fine life, carrying the banner tough and tall.
So tell me about the show. I mean, it's Paperboys.
Yes.
But that's a beginning. But tell me about the show.
And it's really neat. It's inspired by a true story of the newsboys' strike in 1899 that happened for 2 weeks when newsboys that were orphans, after two giant publishers raised prices that the newsboys had to end up paying for, they decided to strike and eventually reached a deal. So it's all based on that inspiring story.
Does it have a sad ending?
I can't tell you.
Okay, that's where you have to come and buy the show. We're talking about the arts and entertainment in Central Ohio with three very entertaining and different people, which makes it for even a great, better show. If you'd like to call and join us, 614-292-8513. Once again, 614-292-8513. You can also send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear from you. What have you seen? What have you liked? What would you like to see? And let's hear from people who are just learning about the museum and learning about the Columbus Civic Theater and Broadway in Columbus, and let us tell you more, which is what we will do right now. You're bringing, Lisa, one of my favorites, which is Anything Goes, Cole Porter, which
yes,
was revived about 20 years ago in New York with Patti LuPone. I
mm-hmm.
saw it then. I don't know if she's coming on the road, but basically that show is it's performer-proof. A hit's a hit's a hit. People love that show.
Yeah, and you'll leave the show, I would almost guarantee, humming some of those classic songs.
Mm-hmm. In olden days.
Yes. Friendship.
Friendship. You're the Top.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was a big show, as I recall, in terms of being on the ocean liner and the dancing. And, that's a lot of visual.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of tapping, lots of glitzy costumes, sailors, hijinks, mobsters. Love triangles. It has it all.
The heaven hop, angels, everything, guns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. So What was the show? What was it? Phantom of the Opera, that one of our theaters had to be structurally reinforced or something about 10 years ago?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And sometimes there are shows, and that it just it doesn't happen here. You know, shows would like to get kind of those mega blockbusters, and they come with some.
And you've had them generally when you bring a show in town. How long does it stay? How long is it here?
Our typical run is about a week. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger shows, like Lion King, will be here for 4. Book of Mormon, like I mentioned, was here for 2.
Because you could sell it for 4 and 2. Yeah,
exactly. And there's the demand that people want to see it.
Are you required to take a certain number of performances? Are you dealing with the same producer when you bring in, or all different people?
All different people, but we do have great partners in New York, Broadway, across America, and they help us negotiate and get the routes that we'd like and the
and
shows.
I know our own Bill Connor, the head of Kappa, is a Tony Award voter and is very, very active in the theater, has been for a long time.
Yes, we're very lucky to
have
him.
And someday somebody will write the show of his life, and I will direct it. But well, this is All Sides Weekend. If you'd like to call and join us, 614-292-8513 or WOSU. allsides@wosu.org. I'm wondering, Nanette, we've talked about collaboration a lot of times, and here you sit between these two people who are different aspects of the theater. What could the museum do to play with these folks?
Well, you know, actually, remember we played last year with CACO when we did the great exhibition of Rothko. We collaborated on Red.
Red.
I believe, in fact, we got an award for that, a local award.
Did you really?
That.
Well,
yes,
okay.
From the theater people. That was really exciting. You know, I'm a big believer in partnerships. I think it enriches us all, and it just gives you opportunities that you would just never have. For instance, I mentioned this exhibition on children's picture books this summer. Actually, we used that to create something called the Summer of Imagination, and it's a partnership with COSI and Franklin Park and the library. Did I get all my partners? Yes, and the idea is to visit all those different, you know, we're using it as a, you know, a jumping off part to explore creativity and imagination and to get to different sites and visit those places with your family. And so I think that's great. And actually, with our picture book show, we are showing the work of a young playwright from Columbus named Amy Drake, whose work has been seen in New York. And actually this Saturday and next Saturday, she's going to be showing an original production of Crabapple Night, which is based on a very famous children's book. And she's been doing all the rehearsals at the museum. Our stage, of course, is quite small. It's in our auditorium, but it's great to bring theater into to the museum that way.
I don't think there's any space that can't be made proper for theater. I think really you can really go anywhere. And you did it, Richard. You've done it. So you've put in the bathrooms, you've put in the seats, you've hung the curtains. It's not a gas station. It's a bona fide theater. It works. It's very nice. You seem to have a production all the time. You don't have a lot of dark nights, 12 months of the year.
Right.
And how do you sustain that? Where does the money come from? And who's performing? How do you find your actors and your personnel?
Okay. Well, first of all, I do have to thank the GCAC, who has always been there for us right from the start, right from the first show. They're terrific people there and very tolerant of me. And my grant writing.
Oh, that's really interesting.
I can't write a grant to save my life. Right. But anyway, they've been very, very good to us. We find our actors, the best ones, through usually word of mouth.
Do they audition for you?
Yes,
or are they
we have auditions for every show. And we tend to pick up one or two very good people, and we try to keep them throughout the shows, and we put them in shows as we go along. We are now on our 46th production, and you know, and
are you equity?
No, you're not. No, though we have equity actors working there.
I was going to say, but that doesn't limit you. You're allowed to have equity. Yes.
Yes, we are. And thankfully, you know, because they're a joy. Those actors. There's several of them here in Columbus, and we like them a lot, especially on stage. We like to see them, but we do keep working. When we're rehearsing, we're doing a show, and so there is no dark time. There's always somebody in the space, and that's sometimes a problem because I just got a phone call from someone who needed the theater for one night, and I just—
Maybe as a rental?
A rental. We can't rent out to anybody, you know, because we always
don't say that on the radio. He's going to change his mind.
No, we just don't have any space
we'll
available.
For you, yeah, because you're always working at
always,
something.
Always. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why so many productions? Why so many performances? I'm not complaining. I'm just curious.
Well, we want to be able to pursue the mission as much as we can. And so, if you have 9 slots, every year 2 of them are taken because we have. Annually, we have a Christmas Carol,
right,
which is a different version every year. And then we have a thing called Patron's Choice at the end, too, where the patron gets to vote on 5 choices that, you know, we send out ballots and they vote on it. So to get them involved in not only choosing what will be performed, but investigating what these shows are. Many of them take the ballots home and then send them back in to us using mail. But those 2 slots are taken. So then we have 7 shows to, you know, pursue the mission. And how do you do this? You know, there is so many great plays out there that people have not seen performed. And they know of them. And sometimes you can actually...
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Endgame. And I've been around the ballpark a few times. Like, yeah, that's coming up with you.
Right.
I've seen Mother Courage, but not here. And it was a long time ago.
Right.
So that's a very intense play, Brecht. You're not, you know, this is not a lot of yucks going on with the Civic Theater. And again, I'm not complaining. I think that's terrific. But is selling the seats a different challenge for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, how did we do that?
Well, difficultly. What we try to do every year is we promise a certain amount of comedies, and people do love their comedies, and they are the most highly attended shows. We usually stick in 4 comedies. Now, someone might consider Endgame a comedy because it is funny to most people, but maybe not to everyone. But this year, I think we had 3, and they were well attended.
Like Noel Coward or something like that?
We had a Shakespeare comedy, and then we had, Strictly Dishonorable, which was by the, I think it was the first time it was been performed in Ohio, and that was by the film great who did the great McGinty. Whose name escapes me.
And we're not going to tap our fingers on the during radio, are we?
Okay.
and we're going to go to a break right now. So hold that thought. Okay. We're going to take a little break. Charlie, if we could have the next musical cut to sort of sing us out, that would be nice, okay? This is from Once, which we'll talk about with you in a bit. And don't go away. We'll be back shortly. I'm Christopher Purdy. We are talking about arts and culture in Central Ohio on today's edition of All Sides Weekend with Nanette Macy-Junes, who is the executive director of the Columbus Museum of Art, with Richard Albert, who is the founder and artistic director of the Columbus Civic Theater, and with Lisa Minkin, the marketing manager of Broadway in Columbus. If you'd like to get up part of the conversation, 614-292-8513, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Richard, we were finishing up with you about how you choose the repertoire and the number of performances you do, and what has worked especially well and what might not have worked so well for you so far.
Well, the idea behind it is to get a whole range of theater from the classical to the contemporary. We did a contemporary show in the summer. So that people get a whole, as she said, arc of world theater. And that is very important. And I think it's actually done in museums and other places where you know, it isn't a philosophy like we do this because we think this type of theater person does things great or a personal philosophy. The idea here is to make sure that the Central Ohio audiences are theater literate, that they know everyone. Like Shaw is another example of this. Everyone should know Shaw and see his productions. But many people have come by and seen them and said, who puts on Shaw? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're right, who does? And that has
they
to change.
They might know St. Joan, but they don't know Canada that well, or right. Arms and the Man, or Man and Superman, and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. And as you do, yes.
Well, that's. I hope it's working. You're in the 47 or 48 productions so far. So far, so good, I would think.
Yes.
Are you at a place now where you're kind of relaxed about the fiscal part of it, and you're really be able to focus on the work?
Almost
oh,
relaxed.
Good. That's great.
Almost
okay.
relaxed.
Well, good for
I
you.
I want to go there.
Oh, yeah. You should. I mean, I've been there, and I
no,
really...
No, actually, I meant I wanted to go there with the relaxed fiscal part,
well, you
but
can
I
go,
and
go. Well, you can no, go no, to the show and be relaxed about it, too.
We are having our summer fundraiser right now, so
okay.
please.
So, yeah, come and give money.
Now, please.
You're on Indianola Avenue. It's a very distinctive-looking building, and there's a big sign out front yes. that says Columbus Civic Theater, so
right.
if you can see, you'll see it as you
right.
go by,
yes.
as you drive carefully.
Yes.
Lisa Minkin, we just had a little bit of newsies, and another show you're bringing The Lion King, you're bringing Anything Goes, and you're bringing Once.
Yes.
Once, I think, is still running. It was very, very exciting for a long time. It was a very successful show. It's based on a film. Can you tell us about
yeah.
Once?
It was based on a 2007 independent film by the same name. The two people that starred in it and wrote all the music are also in the band called The Swell Season, which have come through Columbus before. It won the 2012 Tony. It's set in a pub in Ireland, and two musicians meet each other in the pub and are inspired by their shared love of music. And throughout the course of a week, collaborating on music and writing music, they fall in love, of course, but it's a complicated love story. And there's a couple really cool things about this show. All the actors are musicians. So each of the actors, I think there's about 12, play at least one musical instrument, if not more. And the other thing is, the creators of the show really wanted to create this intimate feeling. So you feel like you're in a pub, and before the show and at intermission, audience members can come up and get a drink at the bar on stage.
That Bill Connor is so smart. That's one of his things. That's really great. That'll, did you hear that, everybody? Is it free? The drink?
The drinks are not free.
Are not free, but go anyway. Go have a Diet Coke. That's what I would have with you. But yeah, that does sound wonderful. And I know that people have a great deal of affection for that show.
Yes,
as it's been done. And if you've seen the movie, you have not seen the show, because they are different.
They are different.
Yeah.
It follows the same storyline. But to see it unfold before your eyes on stage is a completely different experience.
Very good. We have a call from Sheldon in Columbus, who has a report for us. Hello, Sheldon.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes. First of all, this is a great show. Thank you very much for putting it on. It's been
Thank
really
you.
Interesting, and it's nice to hear about theater being done in Columbus. There is a local theater group in town called Evolution Theater that put on for instance, a series of short plays in the spring, one of which was a play that I wrote, and I think they did a terrific job. And I don't see them getting a whole lot of publicity.
I do know about them, and I agree wholeheartedly. They do terrific work.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess I was wondering, do you or anyone that is speaking today, do you have any advice for how to get more publicity for theater groups?
Okay, we can talk about that. Don't go away. Have a listen, and we'll talk about that. That's a very good question. First of all, we talked about social media. If you have no marketing budget or a very limited marketing budget, is social media that effective? Is it a good substitute for money, paid advertising?
In my personal life, I'm involved with a community theater, and we depend wholeheartedly on social media. And it's also creating, I guess this is kind of a buzzword, but brand advocates. Your cast, your creative team, have them sharing the message as well. But don't just talk about ticket sales, because
right.
people tend
turned
to tune
off.
That out.
Yeah.
They want to see the behind the scenes. They want to see pictures. So really put what would you want to see and
right.
learn about out there?
Is it effective to write on a site like that your own sort of take on the show and your own use your own voice, if it will, or and then share it around?
Oh, yeah, I think definitely.
How do you
what's
handle
really,
that?
But
go ahead,
really
Nanette.
Great,
yes,
I was going to say, is the idea that you're not writing about it, but you also get others to. I mean, the mm-hmm. bloggers, I mean, like at the museum, the mommy bloggers are great friends of the museum because they share what they did with their families. I mean, and people I think their voices coming into the conversation is really what excites
but
people on social media.
But it's great that you and your staff knew how to tap into that.
Yeah.
That's terrific,
mm-hmm.
and I think that might be a component not everybody has. You really have to know, strike a very wide net as to who might be interested in what you do and hit it, especially if it's free on the social media. What's your challenge, Richard, for filling seats?
Well, it starts with the curtain speech, which I try to engage the audience as much as possible, usually eliciting some laughter at my expense. And then in the intermission, I try to connect with these people, and because we have seen that word of mouth is the one that is building our audience.
Right.
And that,
also, you're in a good neighborhood.
Yes, it's a terrific neighborhood, and they're terrific people. We have a guy who mows our lawn.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fan of the place, and he just mows our lawn for us. And,
I believe that.
And it's just word of mouth is the thing that's working for
us. And, I made the point earlier, too, because especially in this weather, it's great to walk from your home and see a play, see a great show, and then walk home. It's really
people
terrific.
Do that, yeah.
And you have you're very well situated for that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I congratulate you. How did you? Were you looking for? How long did it take you to find this space?
Quite a while.
Really?
Quite a while. About 6 months.
When you first found it, you thought, "Well, we're sort of on a semi-commercial strip in the middle of a residential area." Was that a concern?
Not to me, because I'm from New York. I have seen theaters everywhere. Okay. There was one theater I worked at when I was young, where I was in the cast, and this is in New York, in Manhattan. We had to go out to make the entrance from the other side. We had to go out the fire escape, cross over the roof, come down.
Oh, yeah, step over the rats and everything. Yeah.
Not a joke.
I know it's not.
And that's a good theater.
Yeah.
That's a great theater. And there's a rope up there on the roof that you have to hang on to just in case. And you got women in their dresses and their high heels going up. And, you know, you can make a theater out of anything. And you know, in the 60s, that was a big thing. And those theaters grew to be these huge theaters you see now, including the Public Theater and the Ohio Theater in New York and other, you know, places like that. I did think about that, and people said, well, you know, we're right across from Marzetti. Is this a place for an arts organization?
But that's a landmark. If you say that,
that's true.
I know where that is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I thought.
Okay. All right. Helpful if I let you talk.
No, not at all.
We're talking about the arts and culture in Central Ohio. We're talking with Richard Albert from the Columbus Civic Theater, with Lisa Minkin from Broadway in Columbus, and with Nanette Macy-Junes with the Columbus Museum of Art. This is our final segment. We still have time to take calls if you'd like to call in, but we're also having a really great time talking amongst ourselves, to be honest with you. 292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. What did I miss, Broadway in Columbus? We have Anything Goes, Lion King once.
We said Newsies. And we have Sister Act.
Tell me. Oh, Sister Act. Yes. Yeah. Nuns singing and dancing. Yes.
That's now, right.
Right. And isn't she on the lam from the mob or something?
She is. It's based on the movie that many of us, when flipping through cable, can't help but stop and watch.
Whoopi Goldberg, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's the story's based on the movie, but it's a whole new score. Unique music and dialogue. It's by Alan Menken, who had a gangbuster year that year on Broadway, writing three shows. But like you said, she's a lounge singer, is dating a gangster, sees her gangster boyfriend kill someone, and then is put in witness protection, and of course, a convent. That's
where else?
Where else would you really want to be? Really,
To the consternation of the Mother Superior, as I remember, Maggie Smith in the movie was very not taken with this at all. No.
Yes, and of course, she gets involved with the choir because she's bored. So, if you want to see nuns and sequins. This is your show.
Who doesn't?
What's not to love?
I know.
Kind of different from the nuns I had in school 45 years ago in Boston. But still, that should be a lot of fun. And I think it's fair to say that fun is a key word in what you do. And that's a great word to use. Fun and entertainment for Broadway in Columbus. What are you nibbling about? What are you curious about coming up in future seasons that you can throw hints at us?
Oh, gosh. Anything that's won a Tony or been Tony nominated, we definitely are anxious to get our hands on.
Do you need to have marquee names to sell the shows?
As in actors in the shows?
Stars. Or the people that we know.
I would say it does not hurt. Mm-hmm. But I think there are definitely shows that can sell themselves.
Right. I think most of what you do is not star-driven on the road. I think people want to see these shows more than anything else.
Right.
There was it the Cat in the Hat you did recently or the Seussical? Anyway, John Davidson was in it, and those of us of a certain age remember him on the Merv Griffin Show as a very young guy, and I thought he was in heaven, but there he was as part of this show. So, you know, you go where the work is,
right.
And you go to Broadway in Columbus to have a great time, and you also take a call from Mark in Columbus who has something encouraging to say about musicals, hello, or shows. Well, hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
One of the things, I think Columbus is at a really nice point right now. My wife and I do a lot of traveling around the country, and we love to go into cities and just check and see what's playing. And in Columbus, we're at that point where almost any night you can do something. I'm particularly a fan of musicals, so whether it's Catco, whether it's Imagine Productions that's done some really neat stuff at Wall Street, whether it's Broadway in Columbus, or any one of the other groups, you can be a visitor to Columbus and find something to do without trying to get to it in advance. And that tells me that we're reaching a really great point of, it's not saturation, it's just there are lots of people doing very exciting things. And forget about, not to forget the Short North Stage that is
right,
just doing
sure.
some great stuff.
Yeah.
So it feels really good in Columbus right now.
Mark, thank you for that. I'm glad to hear that. I've always thought so, too. I thought in the last 5 or 6 years, especially, the community has really become a destination point for the arts here. And the museum has a lot to do with that because you, the Caravaggio show is a huge hit, and you're all about bringing people in to experience something that they haven't seen before at
Indy?
The museum.
Indy, we are. And in fact, I was just thinking of, you mentioned partnerships earlier, like how do we kind of all work together? The museum is involved in its first big collaboration with the Pizzuti Collection this fall. We're both going to do Ori Gersh, who's an Israeli artist. And
Now, tell me again, the Pizzuti Collection is what?
The Pizzuti Collection is, of course, the newest museum in the city.
Right.
It was started by Ron Pizzuti, Ron and Ann Pizzuti. It's in the Short North, and it's
they have their own gallery, right?
Oh, it's this beautiful rehabbed building, and now Ron is going to kill me that I don't. Was it an insurance building? It was some sort of. It's just been beautifully redone.
It's a livery stable. Don't worry about it. It's a long time ago.
But he, you know, they have a constant run of shows, and. We started talking about doing a collaboration, and they would do the same artists we would do, and we would have them in both places and see if people would go back and forth. And we own a great Ori Gersh, and of course, there's great Ori Gershes in Ron's collection. So it's our first time together. We're going to see what we can do.
Fantastic. And you'll get a lot of people for that. You certainly will.
I think so.
Do you still have the program where singles can come for free, or there's a free evening or something like that?
We used to have something called...
Date night.
It was called First Thursdays, and it was a big blowout. Like, we have lots of different things now. One of the great things, we have is an ongoing series where artists come in and do different sort of, you know, interventions in the museum, and people come and interact with artists in the galleries, and it's been incredibly popular with people, and people watch for the next one. So we've changed it up a little bit, but we've got different ways to get you to test us out.
You are all about exciting people. You really are, Nanette Macy-Jones. You always have been for the Columbus Museum of Art, and I'm excited to talk to you and learn more about it, especially with the new buildings. But it was great before, and it'll be even better after. Thank you.
Well, I always love coming to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. Lisa Minkin, Broadway in Columbus, give us a last bit of a precisa. How do we find you? How do we get our tickets?
I think the easiest way is BroadwayinColumbus.com. You can learn more about the shows, fun facts, and get your tickets right there.
And you're going to go to Anything Goes, Sister Act,
Lion King, Newsies, Once, and then our season special, Mamma Mia.
Terrific. Oh, Mamma Mia, terrific.
Yes.
Okay. And Richard Albert, 1 minute, sell.
our famous summer fundraiser, where fun and raising money come
What does that mean? What does that mean, fun? Is it a one-night event? What
No,
do you
it's
mean?
Throughout the summer, which is great, because
okay.
it starts when the summer and it ends at the fall. Okay. And you can go to our website, columbuscivic.org, and
You know, if you go by that funny-looking building, you'll see good theater inside, very good theater inside.
Thank
and
you.
If you live in Clintonville, you can walk there, the Columbus Civic Theater. I'm Christopher Purdy. My thanks to Lisa Mink in Broadway in Columbus, to Nanette Macy-Junes, the Columbus Museum of Art, and to Richard Albert of the Columbus Civic Theater. And thank you to Charlie Pickard, our producer for today, and all of you for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy. Good afternoon.